very auspiciously blessed by the divine fortune of the blessing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by having amongst us one of the very senior and dear servants and disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. With great pleasure, I would like to welcome His Holiness Srila Ramapad Swami Maharaj to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath's temple. Let us welcome him with great enthusiasm. Srila Ramapad Swami Maharaj Ki. Srila Ramapad Swami Maharaj first became a devotee in New York City on 2nd Avenue in 1969, in the very, very early days of Srila Prabhupada's movement. And since that time, he has been like a rock from Govardhan Hill, so steadily maintaining this wonderful project in New York. Srila Prabhupada, when he was first meditating on fulfilling the order of his spiritual master, of bringing the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the holy name of Krishna to every town and village in the world, he was thinking where to begin. And his conclusion was, the most important message should begin in the most important city in the world. Important meaning that the most important country in the world, as far as influencing the rest of the world, was the United States of America. And the most important city that influences the entire country and the entire world is New York City. So Srila Prabhupada struggled, as we all know the story, with such intense devotion to begin this movement in the years of 1965 and 1966 in New York City, the most important and influential city in the world. And for many years, Srila Ramapad Swami Maharaj has been assisting Srila Prabhupada. For some years he was the Sankirtan leader. At that time, New York had the largest book distribution in the world. For several years he was the temple president. And at this particular time, he is the GBC of many places, but primarily he is the GBC for New York City. That means he has taken the responsibility of serving Srila Prabhupada in the most important city in the world. So it is a very, very wonderful and great service. And through many difficulties, trials, and tribulations, he has remained completely steadfast and faithful under all circumstances in his service to Srila Prabhupada. He's a very learned scholar of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, and he's been the inspiration for so many people throughout the world by his wonderful association. So we are very, very happy to and honored to invite Srila Ramapad Maharaj to kindly enlighten us with the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today he's going to be speaking on the glories of the holy name of Krishna. Ramapad Maharaj Ki. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for your great kindness upon us.
Should I chant Jairana Madhava or just begin speaking? Visitors to this Chaupati temple should know that this is a very famous temple in ISKCON. I've heard so much about it, and now for the first time I'm visiting, and I'm getting some idea why. I'm not just flattering you, it's a fact. This Chaupati temple is known throughout all of ISKCON as a place that's filled with bhakti. So you're all your bhaktas are adding to the bhakti power by the nice kirtan and the very nice worship of the deity and sadhu sangha amongst all of you and your wonderful leadership from Srila Radhanath Maharaj. Actually, I didn't join in New York at 26 Second Avenue, but I was introduced to Krishna consciousness, as I understand many, not all, but many here, were also introduced as I was a college student, Rupanuga's program, Buffalo, yeah. And when I, in fact, the first book that was given to me by Borijan at the university campus. He was also a student, and he was chanting, like so many, 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 many students here on campuses in India, and more it's becoming so, chanting the holy name. So he introduced me to Prabhupada's teachings. Another devotee gave me my beads so that I could chant, actually gave me an explanation of how to make, because we didn't have a place we could go and buy beads. Mlecha Yavana country, they don't have Japamala at the stores. So we went and bought some wooden beads and strung them and chanted. So after so many months being a stubborn, independent-minded, trained up in argumentum ad bhakalam, like so many students in universities today, I wanted to find a loophole how to be Hare Krishna, how to be Krishna conscious without submitting to the organization of Krishna consciousness. But what persuaded me to join the ranks of the devotees in a temple was the realization that far more effective at being Krishna conscious, what to speak of helping others to become Krishna conscious, was through the association of devotees, this sangha that Prabhupada had created. Just as I understand here at the Chaupati temple, for some time, just a small number of devotees working together, but very sincere, chanting the holy name, hearing the teachings very carefully, practicing Krishna consciousness, and slowly, 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 that seed of devotion has grown and grown and just like the enthusiasm during the kirtan. It grows and it grows. And every Sunday you look forward to going again and tasting that nectar of the holy name. Chanted in the association of devotees, the nectar of the holy name simply increases. So as a college student, I was looking around after appreciating the gift that Prabhupada had given me and thinking, how can I repay the gift that Prabhupada has given? So many other persons, just like myself, moving around this dark universe, not wanting to be in darkness, but not knowing where is the light. And because of great sacrifice made by Srila Prabhupada, the first time I met Prabhupada was at the university where I was attending, in a hall maybe this big. And I didn't know anything about who Prabhupada was or anything. But I was passing by this big assembly hall. I saw crowds and crowds and crowds of people stuffed even outside the door. So I became curious and went inside. And there was a very large stage on one side. And Prabhupada was there playing on kartals, and Allen Ginsberg was there playing on a little bongo drum or something, just chanting Hare Krishna for hours. And at the end, Prabhupada spoke very simply and left the room. But the chanting of the holy name alone, so powerful, that from that one visit, so many sincere devotees, sincere individuals became devotees, and those same sincere devotees, they continued to practice Krishna consciousness, and maybe something like 50 devotees graduating from school went on to dedicate their life to serving Srila Prabhupada directly. And so many lives of so many other persons, just from that one visit. So it's only natural that when you become the recipient of the mercy of a pure devotee, that you want to share that mercy with others. So I want to discuss a little bit from Srimad Bhagavatam on this same understanding. When Parikshit Maharaj, who was the emperor of the whole world, which is a great, great, great position, great responsibility. When it came time for him to leave his body by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, he was given the association of Shukadeva Goswami, who was describing to him some the means to perfect one's life. Ante Narayana Smriti. So at the end, one can be fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and when fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, one can go back home, back to Godhead. So in the course of that description, Shukadeva Goswami described the whole, in the fifth canto, he described the whole range of possible forms of life in the whole material creation. And at the conclusion of that fifth canto, he described the darkest of dark lower regions of creation, Patala Loka, the hellish planets, that section of material creation. And the fifth canto ends. So what was Maharaj Pariksit's response when he heard this description? Immediately his heart went out to those persons who are so unfortunate that they have to make their residence in that hellish condition of life. So he spoke to Shukadeva Goswami almost in astonishment. How is it that persons, when they have as an option of life to achieve eternal life of bliss and knowledge, they will take this hellish existence? What can be done to help them in that condition? This is the sign of a devotee. And I'm saying this so all of you can internalize this idea also. It's a sign of one who has received some mercy from Krishna, that one wants to extend the opportunity to receive that mercy that one has received from Krishna to others. It's a natural quality of a Vaishnava to want to do that. So Maharaj Pariksit is demonstrating for our benefit that Vaishnava quality. What can be done to rescue these unfortunate souls so they don't have to, from this human form of life, plummet down into the hellish region of creation? So Sukadeva Goswami was very pleased by his question. "You are such a nice devotee, Maharaj Pariksit. I will give you the clue. And he was testing his disciple. He was testing whether he had properly heard all of what he had described previously. So he gave two different options. First he said to Maharaj Pariksit that one has to undergo all forms of beneficial activity, prayaschitta, to counteract the impure deeds of one's life, knowingly or unknowingly performed. And Maharaj Pariksit replied, "How is it possible through one form of material activity to counteract another material activity that one can end up in the association of the personality of Godhead? How is this possible?" Shukadeva Goswami's response was very good. "You have understood correctly. It is not possible to achieve the association of the personality of Godhead in this way, which is the real goal of life. Therefore, one must cultivate knowledge." And similarly, Maharaj Pariksit responded by saying, "Knowledge is very nice. It is like going into a bamboo forest where there may be so many other things growing, and by starting a fire one can burn to the ground all other undesirable things. But after some time, those other undesirable things, they'll appear again. Even a man of discrimination may act improperly. So Sukadeva Goswami, he was delighted. "Very nice. Very nice. You have understood so well. Now I'm going to give you the real answer." He passed his exam. He got his MA, PhD, BTech, Spiritual Technology, STech. "Now I will explain to you what is the best remedy being the compassionate person that you are, wanting to see others not have to experience anything other than the highest form of joy and knowledge and eternal life. That is a very rare thing to achieve. So he describes the process of pure devotion. So there are some very famous verses that are found in this beginning of this sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana. The kevala bhakti, undivided devotional service to the personality of Godhead. This has the effect of eradicating even the root tendency for impure activity. The root of all impure activity is ignorance. The root of all suffering, this is a good phrase to remember, the root of all suffering is ignorance. And the essence of that ignorance is to forget one's relationship with the personality of Godhead. So even if one's behavior is good, by religious standards, good. Because worldly standards, they're always changing. What's today is good is tomorrow's bad. Isn't it? What some of the elderly people here today would never consider, even thinking of doing, is today considered good. If you can do that, if you're a young person today. What to speak of. Anyway, so standards are always, the fulcrum is always moving. And usually in the wrong direction. In Kali Yuga. But by religious standards, good. Even if one can perform all proper activity, still, if one is forgetful of one's relationship with the personality of Godhead, shrama eva hi kevalam. According to Srimad Bhagavatam. Even if one can perfectly perform all of one's religious duties, if God consciousness is not awakened by the performance of those activities, then the summation of those activities, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, is nil. The value is only so much labor that one has performed. But by the mercy of the association of a devotee, one may begin one's progress in devotional service. And through that activity of devotional service, even the very root of material tendency is withdrawn. Those of you that are familiar with Nectar of Devotion by Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prabhupada has summarized in the first chapter, there are six characteristics of pure devotional service. So the first two that are listed there, they're the characteristic of one who is even in the beginning stages of sadhana bhakti. Of course, sadhana bhakti that has as its objective achieving love of God. Not that kind of bhakti that has as its purpose, let me pass my exam. Or let me get a nice wife or husband. Or let me become rich and successful in my occupation. Whatever may be my destiny, whatever is my deserve, that may be whatever it may be, I accept whatever the Lord's arrangement for me is, but let me simply awaken my love for Krishna. Let me simply dedicate my life in some manner under the direction of my spiritual master somehow to serve Krishna so that the Lord becomes pleased and attracted by that loving service. This is a gift that is given to one by one who has such a gift to give, by a devotee. The Lord is ashraya, vishaya. He is the enjoyer of that service that we offer to Him. And the devotee is the shelter or carrying place, the vessel that bhakti is carried within. So by a little association with one who is carrying bhakti within one's heart, one can, a little bhakti can spill over on us, on others. And by the careful nurturing of that bhakti lata beej, paramanda bhamite kona bhagyavan jeev, guru krishna prasadi by bhakti lata beej. So one gets this opportunity to receive the seed of devotion. So Prabhupada demonstrated to me when I was just a young, bewildered, foolish, and so many other negative things, college student, how to exhibit compassion, even amongst those who consider themselves to be learned. Prabhupada simply gave the holy name. And what an uproar the room was in, chanting the holy name together for hours. Imagine being with Prabhupada and chanting for hours together, just as you're gathering together here. Go on for hours like that. I'm sure you do sometimes. Sometimes. So, even from the beginning stage, that kind of devotion, kleshagni, all the causes of suffering, that is the darkness that is born of ignorance. Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita, jnana dipena bhasvata, aham ajnana jam tamaha. The darkness that is born of ignorance, Krishna personally destroys. The knowledge of a devotee is self-luminous knowledge. Dadami bhuti yogam tam. Krishna gives it especially to His devotee. A devotee has a very special gift that Krishna personally gives because some devotee showed some favor upon you. Somehow or other, standing in a dark place, bumping around in ignorance and illusion, thinking so many things, so many ideas, so many self-conceptions, so much delusion. And by some mercy, a devotee came into our life and gave us Krishna consciousness. So that, even that glimmer of Krishna consciousness, Jiva Goswami describes this way, abhasa rupa bhakti. Even at the most beginning stage, the shadow or reflection of light in darkness of devotion is sufficient to eradicate that darkness born of ignorance. That means that our relationship with Krishna can be awakened just in this Sankirtan process. One need not know the language. Both Radhanath Swami and I just came here to Bombay from Mayapur, where there are thousands, maybe 5,000. How many people are here right now? 400, 500? Imagine multiplying it by 7 or 8 or 10. 10 times the number of people in kirtan together, from all different languages. When they give morning class, there are translations in about 20 different little pockets of people in different languages, Polish and Russian and Chinese and Japanese and Italian, and But when it comes to kirtan, everybody's in kirtan together. So, I'm looking at the clock. This process of devotion is so powerful that we cannot even imagine. Cannot even imagine. I'll just tell you one story from some electronic mail that I just received before my computer went on the blink. Somebody that knows how to fix computers, let me know. One devotee from Nepal is studying in America, working on his PhD. Somehow, he met a devotee, and he received a book. And then everything started to change. So, over a period of a year, he started visiting. Oh, he wrote to the BBT officer, the secretarial office in Los Angeles, who then gave that person's name to me, said, get in touch with Uday Shah. He's very nice. So we communicated. I invited him to come to our retreat in Gitanagari. He came to the retreat in Gitanagari and saw Shri Shri Radha Damodar and Lalita and Vishakha and all the cows and all the peacocks there, and met the devotees and liked it so much and kept coming and coming. But his parents became very worried. Sounds like a familiar story. Are you sure you're going to finish school and you'll get married? Then you can practice Krishna consciousness, it's okay. But his father has been not at all devoted. His mother, some devotion, but not really practicing. Now there's some health problem for his mother and father. His father had to come to America, get some health treatment. His mother is alone. So now she's starting to read Prabhupada's books. She's now chanting 16 rounds. She can't wait till she goes to visit the temple in Kathmandu. And the father, who was surprised by the whole thing also, over in America for some time, getting his medical treatment. I don't know why he's going to America for medical treatment. We come here to India for medical treatment. But he's also chanting. He asked for his second Bhagavad Gita because he gave his Bhagavad Gita away. Anyway, this is just one story. And his sister is now wondering, what's going on with mother and father? My brother's an initiated devotee. What's happening? I have to find out about this also. The power that Prabhupada gave, the power of purity, to transform our lives by the process of chanting the holy name, hearing the message of transcendental devotional service, unalloyed devotional service, unmixed devotional service. Hearing that message is so powerful. Even those who resist can't resist. Although some manage to hold out for some time. You probably know a few. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana. There are standards to be followed, the preceding this verse. Tapasa brahmachara jena samena cha dhamena cha. Prabhupada quoted that verse so often. In order to fix the mind, if one becomes very serious in spiritual life, one can fix the mind properly if one observes tapasa, brahmachara jena, samena cha, dhamena cha. So all detailed instructions there are also given, how to perfect that devotion. But dedicate yourself to chanting the holy name of the Lord offenselessly. take the gift that Prabhupada has given of the holy name and that which nurtures the holy name, this message of Srimad Bhagavatam, take it very seriously. And watch the transformation take place and give others the opportunity also. Anyway, so I'm used to speaking longer, but I'll stop because we're sharing our time here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada Maharaj ki
jai. Has so beautifully explained to us the supreme gift which Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his divine representative, Srila Prabhupada, has given to the world. The supreme gift of bhakti, devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The chance to serve is the greatest blessing of the Lord. People are aspiring after great wealth. Some work, struggle, and strain within material society through their occupation. Others, they cheat, they rob, they steal. Others who are more pious, they worship the demigods with hope of attaining prosperity. But what is the supreme benediction that any demigod could give us? The knowledge and understanding of Krishna consciousness. But Srila Prabhupada has so kindly, on behalf of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, given all of us the opportunity to save the time of millions and millions of births by giving us directly the chance to perfect our lives in devotional service. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaudatveshe Namaha. Lord Gaurasundar is most munificent of all aspects of the Lord because he has come to give even the most unqualified fallen souls direct access to devotional service to Krishna and the spiritual world. There is a beautiful story in this regard. Lord Chaitanya taught the only qualification necessary is we have to somehow or other give up our false pride of thinking that we know better. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a young child, as Nimai Pandit, he was crushing the false pride of all of the so-called scholars of the day. Srila Ramapada Maharaj was explaining how Srila Prabhupada came to the University of Buffalo, a very, very high, prestigious university in the state of New York, not far from New York City, and simply by chanting the holy names, dozens and dozens and dozens of people became devotees. As Maharaj said, just within 1 or 2 years, 40 or 50 students from the University of Buffalo dedicated their lives in the service of Srila Prabhupada's mission, became initiated devotees. Some later became spiritual masters, GBCs, gurus. Many of them are the leaders of our society today. And one servant of Srila Prabhupada named Rupanuga, who happened to meet him in New York City, just took this chanting, invited Srila Prabhupada, and transformed the entire university. Lord Chaitanya taught that being proud of one's academic or scholarly knowledge is a great, great disqualification. But if we humble ourselves to hear the message of the Lord, then our hearts can be transformed and we can receive the supreme treasure of Krishna consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya, as a little boy, he was a teacher of Sanskrit grammar, which is the most basic subject of all subjects at the time. And yet, he would take great pleasure in totally defeating in argument, logic, and debate even the greatest, greatest scholars, the Bhattacharyas, the Mishras, the Acharyas, effortlessly. But he would do so in such a way that whoever was defeated by him was very pleased to be defeated, because he did it with such grace and with such love. Navadvip at the time was the high seat of learning in all the world. There was literally hundreds and thousands of the greatest scholars with so many hundreds and thousands of students, millions of students studying under them. And all of these scholars were so proud. They would never agree with one another. Whenever they would meet, they would argue to debate to somehow or other defeat the other. But the greatest of all scholars in the entire world was a man of the name Keshava Kashmiri. He was also known as the Digvijay Pandit, because he was a devotee of the demigoddess Saraswati. He worshipped her with unconditional and fervent worship and devotion. Unconditional in the sense his mind did not deviate for a second from doing his puja and somehow or other pleasing his goddess Saraswati. And he would chant her mantras, and he pleased her so much that goddess Saraswati, who was actually a form of Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, appeared before his very eyes. And he begged for the benediction that he would be so learned that he would be the greatest scholar and conquer the entire world. And Saraswati Devi gave him this benediction that you will conquer all the three worlds in your scholarship. You will be known as Digvijay, victorious over everyone. All the books in the world will be upon your tongue. And whenever you go to speak, Goddess Saraswati said, I will speak through you. So after getting this blessing, he started traveling from town to town, village to village, city to city, country to country, declaring war on all scholars, challenging everyone. And whoever came before them, he smashed them to powder. He would speak in such a way that nobody could even understand what he was saying. It was so learned. What to speak of defeating him? And in this way, he had what is called Vijay Patra. That was a certificate. Whoever he defeated had to sign their name, that I was defeated by Keshav Kashmiri, the Digvijay Pandit. And you'd either have to argue with him and be defeated and sign, or if you didn't want to argue, you'd have to sign it. So he collected signatures of every scholar in the world. And then he decided to come to Navadvip last, because it was a very famous place. And when he came to Navadvip, this man was so proud. He was so intoxicated and infatuated by his learning and he amassed tremendous wealth. He came into Navadvip with decorated, beautiful elephants and decorated horses and palanquins and so much wealth of treasures and a whole retinue of followers and disciples and worshippers. And this way he marched into Navadvip Dham. And the scholars of Navadvip were cast in great, great anxiety. They were thinking that Navadvip is famous as being the best place for learned. If he defeats us all, then Navadvip will lose its reputation. It will just be seen as an ordinary place. And we will lose all of our reputation. But how can we challenge him? He's a devotee of Saraswati, and the whole world knows that the goddess of learning herself speaks through his tongue. So what human being could possibly stand before him? All of the great scholars of Navadvip, they could not study, they could not teach, all they could do is worry about their destiny. And they were scared to death to even approach this scholar. At that time, and no one will dare stand before him. So he's demanding that everyone signed his Vijay Patra. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he smiled. And he replied that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not tolerate a person who is too proud of his greatness and his virtues. He said, the Lord, when he sees that one is too proud, he will smash that pride into pieces. A tree that has much fruit and a human being who has real virtues, both of them, they bow down at all times in humbleness. Vena, Narakasura, Ravana, Nahusha, all of these demons, they all conquered all directions with their prowess. But ultimately their pride was destroyed. They were defeated. He said that very soon the Supreme Lord will take away all the pride of this Digvijay Pandit. And then the Lord said, let us go to the bank of Ganges and perform our studies. Lord Chaitanya bowed down to the river Ganga, Dandavat pranams, and took the water upon his head. And he sat down. It was a beautiful full moon night in Navadvip. And Lord Chaitanya began to think. How to destroy this person's pride without destroying his life? If I defeat him in public, he's such a proud person that the grief he endures will cause his very death. How could I maintain his life and his dignity and at the same time take away his pride? He was thinking like this silently, and he was surrounded on all four sides by a circle of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students. And just at that time, the Lord who was within everyone's heart directed the Digvijay Pandit to come to the river Ganges right at that place. And he saw this crowd of students, and he saw in the center Nimai Pandit.
the effulgence, the beauty of this child was so much. He was just staring at him with unblinking eyes. And he asked one of the students, "Who is this?" And the student said, "This is the famous Nimai Pandit. I have heard about him." When Nimai saw Keshav Kashmiri, he very humbly invited him amongst his other students, and he greeted him with very affectionate, cordial, and honorable words. And Keshava Kashmiri, in his great pride, he said, "Oh, I have heard about you, Nimai Pandit. You are a teacher of grammar. You teach children grammar." In this way, he was actually ridiculing him. But in his heart, for the first time in his life, he felt fear of this child. And Nimai said, "Yes, you are such a great famous pandit. You know all the shastras. I am just a teacher of grammar. I don't know much at all. But we will be very, very honored if you bless us by reciting a beautiful poem in the glorification of the river Ganges. Because by even hearing the glory of the Ganges, we become free from our sins." So Keshav Kashmiri, yes. He began to recite. As he recited, it was like the wind blowing. Incessant, beautiful, beautiful poetry. No human being could possibly do. His voice was as deep as thunder. And as he recited these verses, everyone was struck with wonder. He went on and on and on for 3 hours continuously without cessation. 100 beautiful, beautiful classic Sanskrit verses, all in glorification of the river Ganges. And finally, when he ended, the students, they all just began to chant, "Rama, Rama, how wonderful." They were stunned. How could any human being just compose poetry in such a way? And then Lord Chaitanya began to speak. He said, "What you have spoken is very nice. We are very much appreciating such beautiful, beautiful discourse. What we would like you to do now is describe the virtues and the faults of this wonderful poem that you have recited." Keshav Kashmiri couldn't believe this. "What faults? I have never made a fault. No one has ever found a fault in anything I have said." And Lord Chaitanya, he recited a particular sloka that the Digvijay Pandit have recited perfectly. And Keshav Kashmiri said, "How? How did you remember? I chanted these 100 verses like the wind. How you have remembered this?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead has given you the power to recite such poetry, and he has given me the power to remember whatever I hear." In this way, he was explaining, as Krishna teaches in the Gita, that prakrite kriyamanani gunai kamani saravasha ahankara itiya me bhina prakriti drashtata. That Krishna is the supreme doer of everything. For the devotees, Krishna directly empowers. And for the people who are materialistic, through maya or material energy of the three modes of material nature, we are forced to act in so many ways. We are all instruments. We are all puppets in the hands of the Lord.
Just a few days back, our little Priyavrat Prabhu sang a beautiful song to me about puppets. And we were discussing how everyone is a puppet. Either we are on the strings of the fingers of Maya, moving one way or another way, speaking some way or another way, thinking another way, or we surrender to Krishna and we become his puppet. Srila Prabhupada prayed, "Let me be your puppet, Krishna. Make me dance as you want me to dance." So then Lord Chaitanya, after reciting this verse, he said, in this verse there are 5 virtues and 5 faults. Please describe them. He said, there is no faults. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began very, very elaborately explaining the faults of this particular verse. And when Keshav Kashmiri heard this, for the first time in his entire career as a scholar, he was speechless. He could not speak. The Lord gives the power to speak, and the Lord gives the power to be dumb. Sarvasya chaham hridisha nivishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha vidaishta sarveraham eva vedyo vidanta kridveda vedeva chaham. Krishna within the heart as Paramatma is the source of knowledge, forgetfulness and remembrance. Whatever we can remember, it is only by the grace of the Paramatma giving us that remembrance. And similarly, according to the Lord's sweet will, he can make us forget everything. We have no power without his mercy. So Keshav Kashmiri, he couldn't say a word. And then with great, great effort, he began to somehow or other try to explain how what he was saying was true. But Lord Chaitanya, Nimai Pandit, very easily, completely tore to pieces and defeated all of his attempts. And he was praying to Goddess Saraswati, please save me. You always speak through my tongue. Where are you today? But his tongue would not move. His intelligence was blank. He was defeated. Lord Chaitanya said, all right, if you cannot answer my challenges, then speak on another subject. We want to hear you. But he could not speak. He could not say a word. And all the students, they began to laugh. And Lord Chaitanya stopped them. And very, very graciously, sweetly, with so much respect and honor, he said, your poem was very, very wonderful. But actually, if I want to try, I can reveal how there are unlimited faults in your poetry. But still, because it is in the glorification of Mother Ganga, it is very good for all of us. So these faults are not very important. He said, we are very honored by your presence. Now please, dear sir, go to your home where you are staying and study your books very nicely. And we will be very pleased if you come back tomorrow and we will ask you more questions. And the Digvijay Pandit, he didn't know what to do. Lord Chaitanya very humbly offered him his kindness, and then they both went to their respective homes. When the Digvijay Pandit went to his home, he was thinking, how is it possible? The goddess Saraswati gave me this boon that no one could defeat me. How is it that I have been defeated? I have defeated the greatest scholars.
of Nyaya and Sankhya at Patanjala, of Mimamsa, Vaisheshika, Vedanta. No one could stand before me. And this little boy, who was just a mere grammar teacher, has completely defeated me, and I have no words to speak. Have I offended Goddess Saraswati that she has abandoned me? I do not understand. I am confused. In great, great embarrassment and grief, he began to chant his mantras and pray to the Goddess Saraswati. And then by the arrangement of the Lord, he became so tired that he fell asleep. And as he was sleeping, the beautiful, gentle goddess Saraswati personally appeared before him. And smiling, she revealed that that person who has so kindly defeated you is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am his eternal maidservant. Even Ananta Shesha, who has 1,000 hoods, he becomes speechless when he becomes before the Lord. Even Brahma and Shiva become speechless when they become before the Lord. She said, even this entire material energy has no power at all when she stands before the Lord. She said, although I have given you the boon that I will always be present on the tongue when you speak, but when you came before Nimai Pandit, who is the Supreme Lord, my Master, the Master of all the universes, she said, I could not stand before him. I could not speak before him. Therefore, you should go to him and you should surrender your life. This is my order. You worship me and you chanted mantras for so many years. By giving you learning, by giving you wealth, by giving you prestige, I did not give you my real boon. The real boon I give to the devotee who really pleases me is I give them what I have given you today, the opportunity to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is my real kindness upon you. Now go and surrender. And do not tell anyone what I have spoken to you, or you will die. Keshav Kashmiri, he woke up the next morning, and immediately he went to Nimai Pandit's house. And when he saw the child, he offered his prostrated obeisances. And Nimai picked him up and embraced him. And he said, why are you doing like this? You're such a great distinguished scholar. Why you are offering obeisances to me? I'm only a grammar teacher. And he said that you are the Supreme Lord of my life. You have defeated me and at the same time maintained my honor. No one else could possibly do this except the Supreme Lord. The Goddess Saraswati herself has revealed this information. I am a soul surrendered unto you. My prayer is you kindly accept me as your servant, and please do not allow any of these material desires to ever again come into my heart. After surrendering to Lord, Nimai Pandit explained to him that being a great scholar, Digvijay, he said, is not at all desirable. He said, because when the soul leaves this body, it cannot bring any of its wealth, any of its prestige, or any of its scholarship. There is only one thing that is valuable. There is only one thing that is real in all of the universe. And that is bhakti, devotional service to the Supreme Lord Krishna. This is the greatest wealth, the supreme treasure of all treasures, the service of the Lord. So now you give up your false pride. You worship Krishna and you be compassionate and merciful to all living beings. Keshav Kashmiri took this as his life and soul. From that very moment, Lord Chaitanya embraced him. And when he embraced him, all of his false pride disappeared. All of his material desires were vanquished. And pure love of God awakened within his heart. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. The Lord said, renounce all of this material bondage and become Krishna's devotee. Keshav Kashmiri, bowing again and again and again before the Lord, he then gave away all of his elephants, all of his horses, all of his palanquins, all of his wealth, everything. He left all of his followers. And alone, in a very simple way, he just left everything that was so valuable to him before. And he kept only one thing in his heart, love and devotion to the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had revealed to him the supreme goal of life. Digvijay Pandit, by the arrangement of the Lord, later became a great acharya in the Nimbark Sampradaya or the Kumar Sampradaya. And he wrote wonderful, wonderful books of commentaries of Sri Nimbark Acharya, teaching the pure principles of bhakti. He became more humble than a blade of grass by the mercy of the Lord. And we should know who actually has really received the mercy of the Lord. Not the great scholars. Not the very, very wealthy princes or kings. Not those who are healthy and strong. The person who has really received the great mercy of the Lord is the person who follows the principle of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnana, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Because that person can always associate with the Lord by sincerely chanting his holy names.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
After this, all of the people of Navadweep were thinking, Nimai Pandit, this young child has conquered the greatest conqueror. In this way, his scholarship was applauded and glorified all around. He achieved in his lila the highest position of scholarship. But when he came before his spiritual master, Srila Ishwara Puri, with great pleasure, he accepted defeat. He later on told Prakashananda Saraswati that when I met my guru told me that I was a great fool. That I was not entitled or worthy with any qualification to understand Vedanta. That I should simply chant the holy names of Krishna. Srila Ishwara Puri even defeated the Lord Chaitanya Lord Chaitanya pointed out some mistake by Ishwarapuri's request. He said, please help me edit my book. Lord Chaitanya said, this particular point is a mistake. And the next day Ishwarapuri said, actually it is not a mistake, it is correct. And Lord Chaitanya very quietly accepted defeat. The greatest expression of virtue is not to defeat people, but to humbly accept utter defeat at the lotus feet of Krishna and Guru. Because only in that mood can we surrender. In battle, when one side is defeated, they surrender. Similarly, when we accept defeat before Guru and Krishna, then we are actually in the consciousness of surrender. When Arjuna thought, I am very learned, listen to what I have to say, Krishna, I'm going to convince you of what is to be done. Krishna was silent. Nothing to say to such a person. But when Arjuna was completely in a mood of being defeated, Karapanya doso pahata subhava, I'm completely at your lotus feet as your surrendered servant. Then real knowledge, then the gift of real bhakti can come into our hearts and into our lives. So we must understand how this should always be kept as our real goal. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted defeat before his guru, before Krishna. And by doing so, he showed how to be victorious. When we surrender to Krishna, we are victorious. Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. When we chant the holy names of the Lord amongst devotees in this mood, we become victorious. And on behalf of Krishna, we could conquer the whole world, conquer the ignorance of this existence with bhakti, through the chanting of the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Romapada Maharaj has so wonderfully narrated how Srila Prabhupada personally conquered him through the chanting of the holy name, and in that mood how he surrendered his life. And now in that mood of surrender, Maharaj is conquering people all over the world and inducing them to take to the process of bhakti, to receive the real treasure of Krishna consciousness and chant Hare Krishna mantra. So we can all follow in his holy footprints and accept Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. As Digvijay Pandit's pride was crushed to pieces by the mercy of the Lord, that mercy is still available, manifested to all of us through the blessed process of disciple succession. Thank you very much. Maharaj was explaining how Srila Prabhupada, when he first met him, was in a room about this size, filled with so many people. And for hours and hours, everyone, intoxicated by the holy name, just went on chanting and chanting and chanting.
So for the pleasure of Maharaj, let us try to give him some experience of reliving that wonderful memory of his by chanting Hare Krishna very loudly and with great devotion. Nithai Vodha Pramanam Lee.